with that, obviously. Not the result we wanted, as I spoke after the game on Saturday, but really proud of the players' effort, really proud of the way they continue to fight. And I understand, you know, the ultimate goal is to win, and that's how we get evaluated. But I truly hope that the Marshall community and family can appreciate how hard our guys play. All the way down to the final whistle. That is something that, to me, is a testament to this community, this university, who we are as a team. And in the long run, that will help us grow and help us continue to get better. So, obviously, there were some good things in the game, but just didn't make enough plays against a really good football team. We have a matrix here. We call it Marshall Beaters, which is basically all the mistakes or missed opportunities that we have or we create for the other team. Just to give you a little point of reference, the sweet spot number is 12. If we can stay under 12, we've been 90% successful in games. Anytime we get over 12, that number drastically changes the other way. So for a reference point, for Stony Brooks, we were at 6. Really efficient game, really clean, and that has nothing to do with points, touchdowns. It's turnovers, penalties, drop passes, missed tackles, and sacks. And you kind of do the math. You know, if you get an interception but you give one away, it's 0. If you get one, it's plus 1. So that's how you kind of do it, and you add them all up. For Stony Brook, we were at 6. For the Virginia Tech game, we were at 21. So that kind of gives you an idea without looking at specific plays, but totality on both sides of the ball. We missed a lot of opportunities. In those type games, these type games, when you're playing upper level talent, we've had success in those games before. One of the things that we've done in the past that we weren't able to do on Saturday is we weren't able to put pressure on their team. We weren't able to capitalize on whether it be field position or whether it be a drive ending in a field goal or whether it be scoring a touchdown or a defensive stop. We never were able to put pressure on them to force them to have to either make a mistake or make a play. So we allowed them to kind of stay in their rhythm. We allowed them to stay on track with what they wanted to do. So that's a learning opportunity for us. There's moments in that game where we had a chance to apply pressure. You know, we second drive of the game, we drive the ball down, and we miss a field goal. That's 3-0. You know, that puts a little bit more pressure on the other team. They're looking at the scoreboard, it's 3-0. Our defense came out after that and got a stop. Well, that applies pressure because now all of a sudden you stopped them, you scored, and then you stopped them again. The only time that I felt we actually got a chance to apply pressure was we blocked the punt. Two plays later, we scored a touchdown. But the score didn't reflect the pressure that we put on them. They still were in the lead. They still were able to kind of stay in what they did. A couple other opportunities coming out of the half. The first drive, they played some different coverage than they played, you know, in the first game, and they played last year against us. We went in and kind of looked at some things, a way to beat man coverage. The way you beat man coverage is you have to throw out of it. I mean, everyone's locked down. They got more guys in the box. It was a combination of man coverage and blitz pressure. You have to throw out of that. That's the way you get out of that. And we had a huge opportunity to flip the field and flip the momentum with a slot fade to one of our better players that had been really successful, and he dropped the ball. We still love him. It was a great throw. It was a great route. He just wasn't able to come up with the catch, and that was kind of the mode on offense. We just weren't able to kind of get it going and get in a rhythm. If you think back, even in the first game, when we were trying to get it going, we hit that big run, and that kind of got us going. In the Stony Brook game with AJ, same thing happened again. We caught him in a pressure. The reason AJ was able to split the big run was we caught him in a pressure. He got out the back door. Two plays later, we were able to score. We kind of got going again. But I just didn't think we were able to put enough pressure on them to force them to have to make a play. They were able to kind of stay in the game, punt it away, stay in the game, punt it away. And then ultimately, when you get to those situations, you run out of time. So a really good opportunity for us to learn. We're going to continue to play really good teams, and we're going to continue to be in situations where we have to apply pressure. There was a lot of positive things to learn from, teach from. But moving forward, we got to be able to make those plays when we have those opportunities, regardless of the opponent. We were able to get out of the first game with one drop. We threw the ball almost 30 times in the first game. We had one drop. We threw the ball about 30 times in this last game. We had about six drops. Obviously, the number of drops doesn't matter. It's the when they happen. The first play of the game or second play of the game, probably no one even remembers. Brian Robinson, you know, drops a slant and he probably scores. Applies pressure on them right out of the gate. Again, we love Brian. You know, contested catch. He's made a bunch of catches for us. He will continue to make catches for us. I'm just using him as an example. So it was good. We learned a lot about our team. I think we had the extreme of two opponents. You know, in the first game, we were extremely efficient. In the second game, we missed opportunities. So we kind of get a gauge now of who's able to string some plays together, who's able to kind of play in certain situations. We were able to make some changes throughout the game, personnel-wise, to move some guys around. You probably saw us moving Fitz around a bunch on the offensive side from a receiver perspective. We made some changes to move some guys around on the defensive side. So it was good. It was a good learning opportunity. Obviously, not the result we wanted, not the result that anybody in this building wanted, and I echo that. Trust me, the players, I know the fans and the coaches and the support, you know, we want to win. The guys in the locker room really, really, really want to win every game. And they were hurt because they felt like, you know, it was the opportunity to go out and win that game. But they are a mature group. They have been able to rebound. They came in Sunday. Hey, let's fix our mistakes. Let's get better during this bye week so we can continue to build on, you know, what we started out with this summer. So,
questions for Coach?
You know, when you look at the linebacker play, obviously that was a group that was young in terms of playing experience coming into the year. What have you seen out of them that you like these first couple weeks? Seem like they're flying around in the ball and, you know, more awesome than not.
Yeah, I think, again, you know, Coach Seymour being the defensive coordinator coaching that group, they kind of understand why we're making certain calls and what we're expecting, because when the position coach is the coordinator, even in your position meetings, the way you explain, you know, their responsibilities has a global effect. So they understand, hey, he's making this call because he's anticipating inside run or he's anticipating a pass. So they're able to kind of play with a little bit more anticipation, which makes you play faster. I think Landon, I think Jaden Yates, I think J.C. Anderson, I think all of those guys are experienced in the game of football, although Landon and Jaden are inexperienced at Marshall. Both of them have played at a high level. So when they are able to get explained to them, you know, kind of the whys to some of the defensive things that we do, it helps them kind of communicate on the field. Landon wears the headset, so he's able to kind of hear directly from Coach Seymour. I think that's been a big help. Landon is a very intellectual player. Like, he wants to know the whys on level 3, 4, and 5. Jaden is just like his dad. He just wants to hit, which is great because he listens right to what Landon says and he goes and plays fast. The one thing that I did think that we have to get better at, we missed a lot of tackles in that game, a lot of opportunities where, again, and that doesn't go on the stat sheet, and if you're watching the game, you may not really pay attention to it, but, I mean, we had their running back and their quarterback in the backfield, you know, for a loss of 3 or 4, and they were able to break a tackle or fall forward to get back to the line of scrimmage. Well, that changes the dynamic of the game. If you're calling plays and it's 2nd and 10, that's a different call than 2nd and 14. That's a different defensive mindset from 2nd and 14 to 2nd and 10. There were a couple times we hit the kid, the 33, really good running back. We hit him at the line. He fell forward, broke a tackle, and got 4 yards. Well, that's a different type of new set. So I thought we tackled extremely well in the first game with very good fundamentals, very good technique. I thought in this game we were a little, I don't like to say reckless, but we were laying out, leaving our feet, trying to dive at their ankles instead of coming to balance and, you know, hitting on the rise. So those are things you point out, because from a defensive perspective, you can leave the game and say, man, the defense played really well, which they did. But there's still room for improvement. And we talk about it all the time. It's not one side or one unit plays good and everybody else doesn't. If you're on the field, whatever position or unit you're on, it's your responsibility to outplay the other team's unit. So when our defense is on the field, they're not trying to compete against the opponent's offense. They're trying to outplay the opponent's defense. So if the opponent's defense is shutting our offense out, then our defense has got to shut them out. That mentality eliminates the, well, you guys did good, but you guys suck. Or you guys, you know, didn't do your part. They're out there to outplay the other team's defense. Our offense is trying to outplay the other team's offense. There's going to be games where our offense is going to have to score a lot of points because our defense is going to be in a situation where maybe things aren't going well. It can't be, well, we scored X amount of points and that's the goal, and you guys didn't stop them. No, if they score 100, we got to try to find a way to score 101. And that mentality has kept the culture and the mindset in the locker room. It's not about what the offense does. It's not about what the defense does. If the other defense is throwing a shutout, we got to throw a shutout. If the other defense gave up 21 points, we got to find a way to give up 20 points, you know, at least. You know what I mean? So that's the mindset. And that's when we come back to our defense, those are some of the things we pointed out. Where are areas where we can still improve? Tackling was one of them.
Coach, many of those guys had been in big arenas, environments, crazy situation there at Virginia Tech. But it just seemed like your kids been out there unfazed, and I'd say from a coaching perspective that's good. You want it to be that way, and it seemed like they were, and it was just, you know, another game, and they went at it hard.
Yeah, you know, we do something in our process. You know, we kind of go over to the stadium, you know, a day before to kind of let them look at the museum, if that makes sense, to kind of take their pictures and get on IG and do all their posts, so that on game day when we come over, they can kind of lock in and focus. Sometimes I think the awe of the environment is an initial shock that you may not get out of for three or four series, so we try to get the awe of the environment out on the day before, especially when we play in different arenas. But I think, again, you know, we prepare the same way every week, you know, so it's not, hey, this week we're playing a P5 team or a P4 team, so we got to prepare different. You know, we let them know the field's 100 by 53 and a third. A lot of these guys, and I think this is where college football is, a lot of these guys know these guys on the other team. So they either played them in high school or they were at another school that played them. So it's not as much David versus Goliath, you know, type of deal anymore. It still ticks me off a little bit that after the game they're taking pictures with their high school buddy. I'm like, hey, man, they just kicked our tail. They didn't take pictures at Thanksgiving. But that's a little bit of where, you know, it is. Some of these guys went to high school with these guys. Some of these guys transferred from schools where these guys were from. Some of these guys played each other in crossover. So it's a lot less you know, separation between the levels of schools. Now, obviously, there's a talent gap. I mean, it is what it is. But as far as the known, that eliminates the anxiety. I know that guy. So I remember him in high school. So the anxiety of, because he's wearing a different, you know, logo is less because of where college football is now.
Your first off week this early in the season, you know, will you be changing up your routine a little bit, try to stay a little bit on course as far as your normal standard preparation plans?
I'm going to give you some inside information. I've been here 3 years, and I've learned and adapted a lot. The season goes as your health goes. I think we look back last year when our quarterback and our starting running back were injured. We struggled. They're our best players. Last year they were. So we've adapted a little bit to try and make sure we maintain health. Some of the rotations, you wouldn't know it, but some of the rotations of personnel in the game was to maintain health. Some of the things that we're doing in this bye week is to maintain health. There is still a balance. You still got to physically improve and you still got to physically develop. But we've changed a lot. So we are focused on this week in the bye week. We're focused on maintaining health. We're focused on developing, I call it our 1Bs, guys who maybe aren't ready to play until game 5, 6, 7. We're focusing on them. And then we're focused on schematical fundamental development. We're going to spend a lot of time with tackling fundamentals, not necessarily running into each other and hitting the ground, but we're going to spend a lot of time on breaking down, coming to balance, wrapping up, hitting on the rise. We're going to spend a lot of time on beating man coverage, whether that's press, whether that's inside leverage, whether it's outside leverage, and the throws that coincide with that, you know, so that, you know, we're going to see it again, right? Anytime something happens in a game and you don't have success, the next team says, oh, well, we can do this. We're going to spend a lot of time on some of the formations that gave us issues. And then, obviously, from a coaching standpoint, we get the opportunity to get some recruiting done in the back end of this week. We have a lot of commits and a lot of prospects who are playing, you know, regionally, so we get a chance to get out. We don't get out much during the season. The way the schedule aligns, we don't really get a chance to get recruits to campus until, you know, almost 4 weeks from, you know, from game one. So a good opportunity to kind of attack both. Obviously, we'll do some opponent prep as well. But we've changed a lot. The old Coach Huff, we would have practiced, and, you know, we got to figure out a way to get tougher. We got to, you know, the new Coach Huff is, I've watched this league, and, you know, I've watched this level. The teams that have success stay the healthiest down the stretch. And that's, can you predict an injury? No. I do think there is some science to it. How many hits on the body, you know, how many reps you take during the week compared to how many reps you play in the game. I do think there is some psychological, advantages to being or feeling fresh, if that makes sense as well.